Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Time for the morning show. Got your host, James, behind the mic, joined by our head of news, our co-host, Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
Head of production and our co-host, Seth Havhager.
Good morning.
And the best...
Oh, he's here?
The best listeners in radio joining us as well. We appreciate y'all being here. We're going to have some fun this morning, kicking things off with a lot of fun and a lot of weather, talking Mother Nature with Brittany Merlot. Good morning, Britt.
Good morning. How's it looking out there for you guys?
It's pretty gray right now. Yeah.
Pretty gray.
Yep. Same here. Darn front just parked right over us. These clouds everywhere. At least we're not in the thick fog. Did you have thick fog this morning?
Not too much. How about by you?
Nope. Not here either. Okay. I'd say just north of us. So, hey, we're a little bit brighter than those, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll take it.
We can't complain about the temps. I'm kind of liking this.
They're perfect, aren't they? Oh my gosh. Yeah. 60 degrees right now. I mean, that was our high temperature last week, right? So now we're finally starting to climb out of it. Low 70s today will be the highs. Pretty perfect, although more clouds out there are going to stick with us throughout the day. And then we are going to see fog as we go through our overnight tonight. So fog tomorrow morning, expect it. But then behind that, nothing but sunshine. And we do have summer weather starting to sneak in. So tomorrow, still comfortable, mid-70s. But by Friday, getting a bit more muggy, low 80s for us, partly sunny. We hang on to that sunshine for Saturday, too, mid-80s. Saturday is going to be super summery. Yes, I'm very, very excited. And we hang on to that, too. Sunday, Monday, even into Tuesday, low 80s stay with us.
How about that?
Wow. I don't mind some extra innings out of summer.
Me neither.
That's fine. That's fine. We can take this extra. So that's good.
Mm-hmm. Home run weather.
I appreciate that, Brittany. Just to let the audience know a little bit, Brittany's going to be gone until next Tuesday, so we'll hang out with her again next week. Before we let you go, I have to ask you a difficult question, though, Brittany. Do you have a favorite Girl Scout cookie?
Ooh, that one is tough.
Mm-hmm. I ask the hard questions, Brittany.
Right? It's like Thin Mint, of course. You're going to say Thin Mint. But there's one with caramel in it, and I can't remember the name of it.
They changed the names.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
It was like the samosa.
Okay.
Yeah.
We will find caramel chocolate chip. I think I want to say there was something like that.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
We will find that out because we're going to be talking a little bit later, Brittany, about a new Girl Scout cookie that they're introducing this year. Ooh. So we'll be talking about that.
Exciting.
And we will make sure to get you the list. We'll make sure just in case. But
you got my mouth watering already.
Yeah. See, it's not fair to get to do that. Send through. We'll send the list to you, Brittany. Yeah. Appreciate
you. Okay, good. Okay, thank you.
You have a good one, and we'll talk next week.
You too.
Best in the business right there, Brittany Merlot, joining us every morning right in this time slot. We sure appreciate her. I appreciate all of you. Good things on the way. Yes, we are going to be talking about a new Girl Scout cookie that is being introduced this season. We'll be talking about that a little bit later.
Have to do something because they took away the tree foil?
Yeah. Got to make up for that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We will have that along the way with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. And what is the percentage of us to make big life decisions based on gut instincts? And we'll get into this poll that asked about that and some other stuff. All 10 o'clock hour, going to feature entertainment. We'll dive into some of that, talk about our newsletter and some other fun things coming up, like local theater-wise and stuff. I want to talk about this thing that Gen Zers are doing. Instead of a career ladder, they're calling it a career lily pad. We will discuss.
Career lily pad. Yeah. Okay.
And at some point in this show, I'm going to shoehorn in this this great restaurant, this grocery chain in Iceland that I want to talk about.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Very cool.
It's a grocery chain. I'm sorry. I keep doing this. The grocery chain is called Iceland, but they're in England.
Oh, that's not confusing. Yeah, not at all. Right.
That's all coming up. That confusion is on the way, along with plenty of other confusion for me, I'm sure.
You're welcome, audience.
And it's not just for content and for comedic purposes, but sometimes, you know, I come across a story, and I come across a lot in this job in almost 10 years doing it.
Sure.
There is not much new under the sun. But today, coming across the, I don't know what to do with this. Carnival Cruises has teamed up with the brand Van Leeuwen for a new sunscreen-flavored ice cream. They're not selling it yet, but maybe next summer. And they say they're gauging the reaction online to see if they should be a limited run, right, just a fun gift, or something they should really look into.
Right.
Ingredients include coconut cream, coconut butter, vanilla extract, and sea salt. People Magazine got their hands on a tub and called it surprisingly delicious. They say that
I wish you could see my face because this is not okay.
They say the main flavor is vanilla with notes of with notes of coconut followed by a distinct salty kick.
Okay.
What could go wrong? One of our segments, what could go wrong?
So it's the only thing that's keeping people from eating suntan lotion, I think, now is the fact that it's lotion. Yeah. And they want to wreck their system. But the flavors are very similar. The smells or the aromas, whatever you want to call it, right?
Yeah.
They're very similar. So as long as you don't put the lotion in it, I think you're okay. I think you'll be fine.
Yeah, but why do you got to call it sunscreen flavored?
Because
I mean, come on.
People associate it with it, maybe? I don't know.
I know, but think of the children.
Yes. Yes. The first thing I thought of.
They should be eating it anyway.
Here's have some sunscreen flavored ice cream.
Yeah.
Oh, now you put this on my body. It smells just like the ice cream I had. Let me lick my arm.
Here's some ice cream smelling sunscreen. There you go.
Well, into a child, especially a young one, no matter how much you tell your child, hey, not all sunscreen is edible. Kids put Legos in their mouths.
They put everything in their mouths.
They put everything
while
in
we're
there.
At it, why don't we just bring back candy cigarettes? Come on.
Yeah, well, because is that what we're doing now as a society? We're just going to roll back? We're just going to go ahead and, like, because there's...
Feels like it.
We evolve. We do things. We learn from things. We have made the jokes a billion times. Oh, boy, do you remember? People used to smoke on airplanes. How hilarious is that?
Yeah, seriously.
And we make fun of those things.
Yeah, right.
Like we do.
And now they're trying to bring it back.
Now they want to bring that back? What are we doing? Like,
I mean, all of those flavors that you listed in that ice cream sound fantastic. Just call it salted coconut.
How about you make a better flavor ice cream? You come up, your creative team comes up with something better than sunscreen. We're going to come up with a Girl Scout cookie a little bit later, and it may not be completely game changing or anything, but at least it's a little bit different. At least they're just trying.
New Girl Scout cookie flavor ashtray.
Yeah, I mean they might as well go that route with it. Everything.
Well, you guys are forgetting that the whole reason they did that is so morning talk shows could talk about their products.
It. Yes, that's
so
true.
That's
very true.
If you just come out with a flavor, like you were mentioning, Melissa, the flavors that if they just came out with those, where's the hook? You know, how are people? Why are people going to talk about it? We'll say, well, these are similar to sunscreen, you know, aromas or whatever you want to call it. So let's put to six sunscreen. Now people will go crazy about that, right?
I haven't watched any of these, but I've seen little snippets of them, whether it's from TV shows or just clips of people doing them. But the whole, is it cake or is it real? You got a chainsaw there, and you don't know if it's a chainsaw or if it's a cake.
My kids were into that show for a while, actually.
It's pretty impressive what you can do with cake.
I find it really interesting, and I find it cool, but I also think that there's like such a marketing opportunity there for things and making like things like that. So I'm trying to think of something that I don't know, like a wheelbarrow. I want a wheelbarrow made of brownies. And just like I could just pull chunks off of them or something.
Oh,
I don't know.
Then it looks too much like dirt. Which is dirt and which is the brownie, though? Yeah. Oh, that'd be very confusing.
Yes, you got to taste to find out.
And with my lack of sleep, this is not probably a good thing for me to be wanting. But I don't know. I'm trying to think of like some kind of way that this actually ends up being a thing. And then I was trying to think of, okay, well, Mr. Big Ideas, you're challenging challenging these people to come up with new ice cream flavors. Yeah, well, right. Go ahead, come up with a new ice cream flavor. Genius. And I'm sitting there like at least like from 5 to 6 this morning. Really, like that's not the only thing I was doing.
Right.
But I promise you, it was running through my brain nonstop. I could not. I kept trying to think of something. Kept trying.
Honestly, I think that they're naming it wrong. Because what is the biggest, latest craze with sea salt?
Yeah.
Can you name it?
Caramel?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, sea salt caramel. So ride that wave. Mm-hmm. Call it sunscreen. Call it sea salt coconut.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
By the way, is just salt.
Yeah.
It's no different than any other salt.
I know, but sea salt sounds better than
I know, that's
just
why.
Salt.
It's just regular salt.
Visions of the ocean versus a
right.
block that deer lick.
Just like this sunscreen, you know? This is bringing visions of sunscreen to everybody. We'll mix it all together.
Deer lick ice cream.
Yeah, might as well.
With coconut.
Deer scent ice cream. Might as well come out with that, too.
Yeah. Hunter's a little crazy for it.
When it comes to, like many of you out there, I've taken a lot of business classes. I've studied business, marketing, a lot of these things. And one of the things that they tell you is, well, looking for a product or looking for something that society needs that doesn't have. Nowadays, it feels like, hey, we came up with this, and whether you need it or not, take it. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just forcing stuff on us or pushing stuff on us and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Whether it's sunscreen flavored ice cream or AI, they can't seem to. I'm not pivoting here that much, but I admit that I am stretching and pivoting a little bit. But I was really thrown by the newscast because I had not heard this story about bars wanting to have smoking back. What are we doing? Who wants this? 715-424-2600. I want to know where this is coming from, because if it's coming from Big Tobacco, let's call it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, this is look at who is pushing these things.
Yeah.
If it's everyday citizens, I'd like to hear from you. Why do you think this should be back in bars? And don't tell me just because you want to have a cigarette with your beer.
Right.
You can do that at home. And
exactly.
And bars, guess what? They didn't dry up. They're not dead. Bars are surviving just fine in Wisconsin without smoking.
Right.
That's going backwards. There is no person in the universe that can convince you smoking is even a tiny bit okay, let alone healthy for you. Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and throw everybody in a building with no open windows, and we're just going to go ahead and just hotbox it? That's what we're doing? that's what we're going to go back to?
Right.
I thought we evolved past that.
Yeah, it's no different. Bit further than that, right?
But come up with better than sunscreen flavored ice cream, or go back to marketing school. They quit forcing this stuff on us just because you can't come up with better ideas. You spent all this money on AI, and now we got to deal with it.
Yeah,
because these companies spent all this money on this stuff that we didn't even ask for.
You know, it seems to me that as someone who tries not to be overly cynical, it seems to me that most of these things are really cynical.
Yeah,
all of these marketing things, they're just super. Mm-hmm. People are stupid and they'll just do anything, right? It's
they make fun
very
of the,
annoying.
They make fun
they're
of
taking
the,
it too far.
Yeah.
They make fun of the 80s and 80s people a lot of the me generation. It was so me and everything. No, man. That we're living in the me times.
Yeah.
All this stuff feels like it's designed for like one person.
Yeah.
And usually the person that designed it.
One person with a grievance.
Yeah.
Because they can't smoke in a bar anymore or whatever, right? Yeah.
I'm not
or
sorry.
Somebody who's really disappointed that they can't eat the delicious smelling sunscreen they just put on their body. Get an ice cream.
They're just so upset about the idea. They can't do that.
You know what? They should have gone with pudding.
See, that makes more sense, right?
I was just
consistency wise.
I didn't want to look it up, but like how many people have gone to the ER because they've eaten or they've drank like suntan lotion or something like that. But I'm afraid of the number.
Whatever
the number is, it's too high. I don't care if it's 2% of
with any of these things, man.
It's way too high. We don't need that. You don't have to know everything. Don't have to know everything. Some things are better unknown. We will come back and help you learn the birthdays of today with our El Cafe birthday and anniversary club. It's the morning show on WFHR. My You heard the boys. Time to do some celebrating with our great friends over at El Cafe and the Birthday and Anniversary Club. We encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over there today, 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Wish them a good one from all of us. Buy local, support local, support our friends over at El Cafe, as especially they have a great fish fry lined up for you Friday.
Mm.
And not only that, but they are hosting the fish fry fundraiser for Port Edwards Elementary Schools.
Very cool.
Percentage of the sales from 4 to 8 will be donated to the school. A great way to buy local, help local, and impact the future at the same time while getting your belly full and all that.
100%, man.
Get on over to El Cafe today, everybody. And get us those birthdays and anniversaries. We love celebrating with you. You can email us info@WFHR.com, direct message us on our Facebook pages, and you can call on up.
That number is 715-424-2600.
Call up and join the conversation. We look forward to talking with you, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Taking a look at our list, I believe, Mel, this is your last show of the week, so I'm going to put you to work. Give me a 1 through 3.
Ooh, 3.
All right. All right. Gives us our qualifier there. All right. So we can get right into it. And first up, we want to wish a couple of Civic Media family members a happy birthday. James Santel, happy birthday to James.
Oh, happy birthday, James.
Not just a fine first name, but a great individual here in the company. Right. We appreciate. And Stephanie. Stephen Kajetlane.
Oh, wow. He must be newer. I'm not familiar with that name. Yeah, so not, he must be a newer member easy. of the team here.
But we welcome you, Stephen.
Yes, and we do. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday. Enjoy your day, man. It's a good one for you. And we take a look at our local list. And first up, want to wish a very 102nd birthday to Paul Gross.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, happy birthday, Paul.
Happy birthday, Paul.
Mr. Gross, former business owner, of course, Paul Gross Jewelers, and a very knowledgeable city historian and creator of so many of the Wisconsin Rapids history videos we've had around here. Individual that has joined me on the air before, and just a good guy.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wow. Congratulations, man. Woo. Mm-hmm. 102.
Oddly enough, now this is going to shock you guys, but at one point in my life, I had a pinky ring.
Okay. Wow. Just play right into the stereotype, right?
Oh, yeah. Right into the stereotype. Had an Italian horn, had a pinky ring. God help anybody that couldn't tell I was Italian. I had to make darn sure that I was advertising every 5 seconds. This ring that I put on, again, not surprising, not the greatest of quality.
Okay.
And I really needed to get it off my finger. So one of the first places I went to when I moved to this town was Paul Gross Jewelers.
Oh, okay.
I went over there. I didn't know it was Mr. Gross at the time, but he was working. Could not have been kinder to me. I didn't have the money I didn't know how much it would cost to get the ring cut off or anything.
Right.
And I was panicking. So like before I said anything, I'm like, I don't have any money. It couldn't have been nicer to me.
Right.
I couldn't have been more than like 14 or 15. Could not have been nicer to me. Cut the ring off. And then like 20 years later, end up, you know, kind of knowing and working and stuff together.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah.
Well, because he probably looked at you and was like, oh, you poor boy, it's going to be a lot cheaper for me to cut your ring off your finger than you to have to go to the ER.
Yeah,
exactly.
I don't know how that would have ended had he not done that. I'd still be walking around with that ring on my finger. It's a big problem. Happy birthday, Mr. Gross.
Mm.
And happy birthday to Libby Parr.
Happy birthday, Libby.
Enjoy your day, Libby. Hope it's a good one for you. And we wish a happy birthday to our qualifier, Diane Peterson.
Happy birthday, Diane.
Happy birthday, Diane.
Diane, wishing you a great day. Enjoy and celebrate. And I'd say tell everybody you know that you're our qualifier today.
Right.
Let them all know.
Mm-hmm. It's exciting news, man.
And spread the word.
And get over to El Cafe for some pie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Treat yourself. Get on over there. And we encourage everybody to get us more on birthdays and anniversaries. Let's see who you're sharing your birthdays with in our celebrity list. Ryan Phillippe is 51.
Wow.
Wonderful actor. Wonderful actor. Very strong actor. It's crazy.
He's too old for that.
I hope he does more comedy because he's very good at it and he's gotten some really good stuff there. But I don't know that there's much he can't do. I think he's a very solid actor. And I really appreciate the way him and Reese Witherspoon talked about not only their marriage, but their divorce and how they have handled that since. They seem like a very, very, very healthy relationship there. His career was was doing well, but just as he was picking up steam, they get married and they realize they want to have kids, and it's not going to work with both of them working at the same time.
Right.
So he kind of slows down, and then once she becomes pregnant, she slows down a little bit. And they were doing this kind of back and forth thing for a little while there. And if you look at their careers and their IMDb pages, it worked out pretty darn well. Successful movies here and there and everything.
Yeah.
And certainly they're not together anymore, but they made it work very well for a while there, and they gave a bit of a blueprint for those things.
Yeah.
You're going to have more of these. You're going to have plenty of celebrity marriages and stuff. I thought they did a really nice job of that, and were very transparent about it, which this is ahead of social media. This is way before that and everything, where they were doing those things.
Yep.
I thought it was cool.
Well, relationships don't always work out, and it's a really good example of being able to remain friends and co-parent.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the important thing? The beings kids. You created.
Yep, the kids. Always got to come first.
Yeah, always first. But for me, it was Cruel Intentions.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a good one.
In 1999.
That's a good one. He did a couple movies that I enjoyed him in. He did one with Benicio Del Toro. I can't remember the name of it, but I really liked that one. That was a good one.
Nice.
One of the better directors in the game, Guy Ritchie, is 57 today. Sherlock Holmes, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., Aladdin, he has done... he has taken over the gangster movie model. People got so tired of making Italian mobster movies that... Scorsese now is making them about Irish people. Like, he's not even making Italian gangster movies anymore. Even
the cliche,
Scorsese,
right?
Yeah, they're done. They're done. They're gone. And I could not be happier about that, to be honest. It would be
I don't understand why.
It would be nice the one time somebody would mention an Italian and they don't do this. So,
yeah, right.
Or they don't mention the mob or something like that. It'd be nice if we could get to that. Guy Ritchie has taken the Scorsese model and turned it on its head and modernized it to a degree where for me, and I know a number of people like this, I'm not saying he's the best director out there, my favorite director, but if I see Guy Ritchie is even producing something, let alone directing it, I'm all in. Mm. I'm giving it a chance. Snatch, Lock, Stock, and Barrel. Yep. There are so many of his early movies that pushed cinema to a different degree. In particular, dialogue. One of the greatest acting performances you will see, especially from Brad Pitt, is in Snatch, where you can barely understand him, but then you hear people from that part of the country, and that weren't like, oh, I understand him perfectly. Like,
he got it. He got it down.
It's a lot of the different things that he has done with the game that has been very game-changing.
Yeah.
Randy Johnson is 62. I almost said 6'2".
He's 6'10", yeah.
Randy Johnson was 6'2 in sixth grade.
Right.
Like, just dwarfing the big unit. Just one of the most intimidating pitchers in history.
Yes.
Good one, too. The great Colin Firth is 65. Oscar-winning actor from The King's Speech. A lot of great roles of his over the years. Again, one of the more versatile actors you're going to see. And I know they're just silly action movies, but if you watch the Kingsman movies, he's so dang good in them. And it's what happens when you take, and I've mentioned this a number of times, when you take an actor of his caliber and you put them in an action movie, or you put them in a superhero movie or something like that, and it's not like they lower their acting. Some actors do. We've talked about that too. But for the most part, they only know one speed. They're going to give you an A-plus performance, no matter if they're playing Doctor Strange or they're playing, you know, King Henry III.
Right.
Colin Firth is one of these guys that's like that. I really appreciate that about his work, and I really enjoy those Kingsman movies.
Yeah.
Like, he's very good in them.
I love him in the rom-coms that he's been in, or like the Nanny McPhee movie from 2005.
Yeah.
What a Girl Wants, 2003. Like, he
can do it all.
So good.
He can do whatever you ask him. Yep.
And I think that The King's Speech could be taught in acting classes. Like,
yes.
The him and Geoffrey Rush. I believe Helen Bonham Carter also. Like, those three performances are just incredible, magnificent performances. Soben Afeyi is 67. I'm not pronouncing that name right, but I did want to mention her because she has big hits Venus, Cruel Summer, I Heard a Rumor with Bananarama, and then Stay and some others with Shakespeare's sister.
Oh.
And I just found out today that that's the same person.
Oh.
And nice. I felt bad, so I wanted to mention it. Joe Perry is 75, amazing Aerosmith guitarist.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I got to see Aerosmith at Alpine Valley, and the most memorable part to me was when they did Ragdoll, and there was this lull in between before the song, and we're kind of like, what's going on? It took them a while to wheel out the steel flat guitar. So Joe Perry could play on
it.
And I didn't know you could wail on that thing. I didn't know you could do solos on that thing. It was amazing.
That's cool.
One of the more versatile guitar players.
And that's not the same as playing a regular guitar, by the way.
No, playing
a lap pedal steel is not. It's very different. So that shows you how good he is.
And another rock star we mentioned, Danny Hutton, is 83. Three Dog Night lead singer, songwriter. One, Mama Told Me, an old-fashioned love song. And, of course, the man that used to sit in this chair, Bob Look, would tell you that is his favorite voice ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That was his guy. That was his guy. Heck of a voice.
Yep.
Am I mixing up Three Dog Night with another three-word band? I don't think so.
Maybe.
Bob will correct me. Some people no longer with us, like a couple of sports legends. Arnold Palmer, born on this day.
Yes.
Golf god, a legend. Rumor is that he's made of 50% lemonade.
No, I was going to say. Hey, he's got a drink named after him. That's pretty cool, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. That's why I know it.
Yeah.
In the new Happy Gilmore, Jack Nicklaus has a guest spot. The golfer has a guest spot.
Jack Nicklaus, yeah.
And they're at a golf club, and he orders a drink, and he orders a 50, I like a 50% lemonade and a 50% whatever. So, oh, you mean an Arnold Palmer? He's like, no. No. It's just so straight-faced. It's hilarious. Just
no.
Iced tea and lemonade.
That's all.
If it's the only scene you watch of that movie, it's worth it. It's a great one. And Roger Maris was born on this day in 1934.
Good old Roger.
Broke Babe's record of 61 home runs in a season. Heck of a player and heck of a season that year at for the Yankees.
Yes. A proud native of North Dakota. In the mall in North Dakota, they got a nice little, it's small, but they got a nice little museum to Roger Maris. And I thought that's really cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
Once again, happy birthdays and anniversary to everybody out there celebrating. Can't think of a better way to celebrate than El Cafe. Get over there today, 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. We'll be back after our break with more Morning Show.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Thanks for hanging out with us. We got good things coming up for you. In a little bit, we're going to talk about gut instincts and how often we trust them, use them, and all of the above.
Okay.
For right now, we're talking Girl Scout cookies. And, of course, we want to hear from the audience. What's your favorite Girl Scout cookie? 715-424-2600. Call or text us through the Civic Media app.
That's right.
There are no wrong answers.
Of course not. Unless it's something they don't make, then you're on your own. Yeah.
That would be that doesn't make sense.
It does. It's just nostalgia, then.
There we go. That's what it is. If you know, the Girl Scouts just unveiled their newest cookie, and they're called Explore Mores. And they're Rocky Road inspired.
Interesting.
So nothing brand new, but something a little bit different.
Sure.
I think this is
a cookie.
Yeah, there's only so much you can do.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So do you have a description you can read us?
As you said that, Melissa, it's a cookie. All of a sudden, I thought, well, what? Maybe they should start making square cookies. Like they're chocolate chip.
I think they used to.
Did they? Okay,
yeah.
All right. Because maybe rectangle. I don't know. Maybe try a new thing. You know. So they're chocolate. Quote, chocolate cookies, which have a creamy filling with notes of chocolate, marshmallow, and toasted almond-flavored cream.
Ooh.
Oh, I'd put that in my mouth.
I'd try that.
Sounds good to me.
The organization says that they reflect the spirit of exploration at the heart of every Girl Scout.
Aww.
Good line. The Explore Mores will be available when Girl Scout cookie season begins in January. The full lineup includes the classics, along with more recent additions like Adventure Fools, Lemon Ups, Toffee-tastic, and Caramel Chocolate Chip.
Mm.
I don't think I tried the Toffee-tastic. I don't think I saw
I
that
have
last
tried
year.
That. It's not bad.
It's good.
If you like toffee,
What is it like?
It's more of a hard cookie because it's like hardened toffee in it.
Yeah.
So it's like a Heath bar. You know, if you've ever had a Heath bar, you know. Yeah, that kind of stuff.
But it'd be great dipped in coffee is what I'm hearing.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. Now that I think about it, you're right.
They are. Mm-hmm. Yes, I will tell you.
It's like a biscotti.
Yeah.
They definitely are. And I am such a biscotti guy. I love having something like that with my coffee. Something to go with the liquid, something crunchy and hard. Mm. Oh, yes. Mm.
Okay.
That's my game.
Wow.
Yeah, I love it.
Wouldn't have pegged you for a biscotti guy, but hey, that's cool.
It's not very often that I can surprise people with things I put in my mouth.
Right.
That you eat. Wow.
Yeah.
They haven't brought back their last new flavor, Raspberry Rallies, which
I was going to ask about that.
They are basically raspberry version of Thin Mints. Uh, mm. they seemed like a big hit, but apparently not enough to impress the sellers or the buyers, I should say.
The Girl Scouts themselves.
Well, that's because people didn't get to eat them.
Yeah. They ran out too fast.
A word I can't say on the air describing of the people who did this went and bought them all up, and they were selling them for massive amounts of money on eBay.
Yeah.
So
it's just ridiculous.
Scammers.
As somebody who tries to grab silver linings of everything, and trust me, it's annoying. There are times where you just want to be, this sucks. But no, my brain just can't help but find, James, even though you stubbed your foot, it stopped you from doing this or whatever. My brain just is wired that way now, and I can't help it. That story that you're talking about there, Melissa, and I'm glad you brought that up, I think one of the things that's noteworthy to this, Girl Scouts, as great as these cookies are, awesome as they are, this is all about teaching young ladies some business world, interacting with people,
entrepreneurship,
being able to talk to strangers and sell a business, all these different things. So this is a business lesson that they learned here about modern business, and something that we see happen from time to time. I shouldn't even say modern business, because this has been happening since Cabbage Patch Kids. This has been happening our whole lives, basically, of this product comes out, there's a limited release of it, and then, of course, you have people going out there and buying it up and everything.
Yeah. Supply and demand.
And Nintendo does every time they release a new system.
It's an unfortunate lesson to learn, and it's not something that I think any of us are kosher with, but, it's a lesson. Earlier this year, they announced that they'd be nixing Girl Scout s'mores and Toastiers, so those won't be back either.
Okay.
Toastiers. That's the one that's not going to be back anymore.
And that's text that I got, Toastiers.
Toastiers.
I had it wrong.
Excellent.
That figures. Because
if they got rid of trefoils, I think there would be riots in the streets.
Yeah, because that's the shortbread.
Yeah.
Yes.
One.
Yeah.
No, that's my mom's favorite by far. Yeah. So.
There's something
take away mom's favorite cookie.
No,
there's something about a good shortbread cookie, too. Mm-hmm. There's something about that.
Very simple, but crumbly, very good. Yep.
Buttery.
There goodness. There is something about my palate, too, and I don't know if it's just because of the way I grew up or what it is, but I got nothing against Oreos and Chips Ahoy. They're fantastic. Wonderful, wonderful cookies. Almost every version of them I like. I'm a cookie guy. You give me those, how you can get like 20,000 cookies for a buck? and they're just or the off-brand of vanilla wafers or anything. Give them to me.
Right.
I'll take
them. Doesn't matter. He will eat them.
They're fantastic. I love every one of them. I don't know that I've had a bad cookie.
Okay.
I've had ones that aren't my flavor, that aren't really what I like, but it's nothing wrong. It's nothing against the cookie.
You're still going to eat it.
Yeah, yeah. The cookie's fine. I don't know. There's something about cheap cookies I love.
I'm with you. A very specific kind, though, and I think I just answered the question, guys, about the circle square kind of thing. So those sandwich wafers that are rectangle,
yes.
I believe those are considered cookies.
Oh, yeah.
And I love those, and you're right, man. They're super cheap, but they're really good, yes. You get them in strawberry, vanilla, or chocolate,
Chocolate, yep. Or lemon. The lemon ones are really good. Always remind me of my grandma. Mm-hmm. I think of those as grandma cookies.
Church. We always had them at church functions where I was
growing
up.
They're so messy, though.
Yeah, they get very crummy.
They're very crummy.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this with the new cookie that they're introducing, the s'more cookie. Now, I don't like marshmallow traditionally, but the flavor of marshmallow doesn't bother me as much.
Right.
I don't know what...
For me, regular marshmallows, it's the texture. I don't like the way they feel, I guess, is for lack of a better word. But I like the flavor.
Raw.
Or even roasted. Say. Yeah. Or even roasted.
Oh, even roasted? You don't like them?
No, I don't. No.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, I'm okay with them roasted to a degree, but not too much. And I still would, I'll order a s'more without the mushroom. Marshmallow.
Also without mushroom, because you don't like those either.
That was a slip of the tongue. Wow.
But accurate.
Let's hear from somebody that knows how to talk. Good morning, sir. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning. I'm not much of a sweet guy, but I had two boxes of Girl Scout cookies, Thin Mints and peanut butter patties.
Yep.
Those are my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
They're both good. Excellent.
Took my last pack of the three Thin Mints out of the freezer just a few weeks ago.
Oh,
okay. See, just in time.
From last,
Good job stretching them out. Good job.
That's excellent.
My mom would be so proud. She tries so hard to do this, and she puts them in the freezer. And I always thought that she put them in the freezer because they taste. She likes the taste of them, and they do taste really good, especially Thin Mints frozen. Mm-hmm. You're so right about that, sir. But I also think she does it to keep them out of eyesight.
Yeah,
to keep them
out of sight, out of mind, right? Yeah, exactly.
I could take a 3-inch round cookie and make it last 3 days.
Oh, wow. Man. You are, wow. You are impressive.
That is impressive. I'm with you on that one.
That's right. Always appreciate the call and the conversation, sir. You have a good morning.
You too.
Thank you. Thank you. Always appreciate the calls, everybody. Keep them coming. 715-424-2600. Want to hear your favorite Girl Scout cookie? What do you think of this Explore Mores? Were you going to try them? Do you like it? Let us know. For now, we'll take a quick time out. We'll get take care of our partners here. We'll come back, and we're talking gut instincts. How many of us make life decisions based on them? That and more coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Little of the Ramones to play us in there, and also shock everybody's system.
Yes,
everybody immediately felt they were late.
Yes,
we all did. Everybody just get that feeling because I was playing it. I knew the sound that was coming, and I still my first reaction was, "Oh God,
oh,
I'm
where,
late.
Wait, where am I? Oh,
I don't have time to have a detention." I got things to do, man. I'm a teenager.
Still at my locker. Oh, my God. I got to cross the school.
I'm never going to look better. I got to get moving. We have to dive into talking about this subject here. And I honestly, I was really looking forward to getting into this with you two in particular and our audience. I find this to be one of the more fascinating subjects of gut instincts and how often we rely on them, how often we use them, how often do we actually listen to them.
Okay.
I've touched on this a bit. I think that most people in their comings and goings and articles and stories and movies and TV shows who have heard about fight or flight and this part of our brain. This is how human beings, part of one of the major reasons why human beings evolved,
right?
Why we are still here, and so much of that. It is certainly as simple as it sounds, while also much, much, much more complex than you would realize. Because while we evolved to standing upright in certain things, there are other things about us that they have to go somewhere. And and while we are at a point now in 2025 where convenience is king. Mm-hmm. And almost everything is driven by that. Mm-hmm. Our brain is still looking for problems. It's part of the reason why that voice in the back of your head is usually the harshest voice in your life. And it's part of what keeps us, our hearts beating. It's part of what keeps us moving and motivated and everything. It's constantly looking for challenges. Mm-hmm. And this is every single brain. This is not, you know, well, some more than others or something, sure. But every brain has fight or flight in it. And I think that one of the better things you could do for yourself and for society is understanding your own fight or flight mechanisms. What triggers them, what happens with them, understanding them, controlling them. It can be one of the better gifts you can give to yourself. It's honestly the reason I'm even here right now. It literally is having this instinct and having an ability to figure those things out. It's also something that I think that can be very helpful when it comes to self-doubt. We are so quick to doubt ourselves. The most confident human being in the world still does this from time to time.
I'm sure, yeah.
When more times than not, how often do we think or do we find out our gut instinct was correct? Doesn't mean it's always right, because nothing is 100%. Not AI, not mom. Wait, no. Moms are always right.
Be careful.
You don't think she
Be careful,
heard that.
James.
You don't think she heard that.
Jeez.
Now you called attention.
I shouldn't have done that. I needed a better third example. That's right. A new poll found 70% of Americans go with their gut. Or rely on it to some extent when making big life decisions. 70%.
That's a lot.
And how many of them do you think realize it or even do it willingly? You know?
Well, that's just, I've got an idea, but keep going on this because I'm curious.
They used gut instincts as a catch-all. It includes your intuition, general vibes, your feeling, or any insight you might get from prayer. So they included a bunch of different things in this, of all under the umbrella of gut instinct. They asked about 10 big decisions you may have already made at some point in your life. Would you mostly use your gut to decide on these things, or would you choose to be more rational and fact-based? Okay. Now, for real quick note, I don't think they're virtual. You know, they're necessarily separate.
Yeah. No. Absolutely things. Right. You're right. Yeah. I would not separate those two things. No, I wouldn't. Right. Well, and part of this thing is something I've been kind of studying a little bit. The idea that human beings don't have free will in the sense that we usually call free will that, right? That every decision that every human being makes is just a progression, okay, of all the stuff that's happened to you before.
Yep.
You know, there's always something, this caused this kind of thing, goes all the way down to the, you know, when you were born, that kind mm-hmm. of thing, right?
And
decisions,
cause and effect.
Right, the decisions that weren't necessarily you made or were made for you. And, you know, trauma you've had, incidents you've had, experiences you've had, this all goes into this giant mess of that. So I would say, and you know, put out a theory out there. There's obviously no proof on this kind of thing. There's, you know, circumstantial evidence that that gut feeling is just that. It is all of your experiences up to this point, you know, and it's going to cause you to go one way or the other. But it's not necessarily a decision consciously. It's something because of everything you've experienced up to that point.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you get in that loop of overthinking all of those things that, okay, well, these are all the parameters I need to consider mm-hmm. when making this decision, you get in a loop of that and you find it impossible to make a decision.
Yes. Right.
Yes. Yes.
So that can happen a lot too, yeah.
My God,
so then
yes.
you either like go to the people in your life that know you and mm-hmm. care about you and can help you, or a therapist, or, you know, like right. you mentioned, prayer, whatever it is that you need to do to help get you out of that loop. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're just you're sure to make the wrong decision.
Yep, yep. You're in looper. Yeah. You're in looper.
Yep.
Here are some of the things that we have been making, choosing to mm-hmm. make these decisions with our gut, and the percentage of how often we do it, like choosing right. a new job or choosing a job. 32% have picked a job based on gut instincts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here in part because of that.
That's wild.
Yeah, just trusting my mom and listening to her, right. but trusting my gut because honestly, I did not see this happening.
Right. Well, and on the flip side of that, I took a job once which there was lots of indications I shouldn't take it, but I still did for a number of reasons. I think my gut was part of it, mm-hmm. and also because I really wanted a job and I needed a job. Right. But it didn't work out, mm-hmm. and then I look back and I'm like, oh my gosh, all the warning signs were there. I just mm-hmm. didn't notice it because I was so focused on this kind of stuff. So.
I just answered a newspaper ad.
Right, see, there you go. That same thing I did, Melissa. Yeah, yeah. Deciding where to move. 26% of us trust our gut on that one.
That's such a big decision, though.
Boy,
wow.
That's, I think, maybe top three toughest decisions in the world to me mm-hmm. is always going to be moving.
Right.
No matter what is waiting for me on the other side or anything like that, no matter what the initiative. I've mentioned before, I went out to California. I moved out there with a little bit over $5 in my pocket.
Right.
And I don't regret a second of it or anything. But I know that my gut was telling me to do it, even though my brain was telling me, what are you doing? It's California. You can't. Right. You literally can't buy a gumball for $5 in California. What do you expect to do there?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. How about the other side of this? Kind of quitting a job or switching careers. 24% of us trust our gut on that one.
Hmm.
There's plenty of layers to each one of these mm-hmm. things that we could talk
oh,
about.
Oh, 100%.
Different sides of it.
Yeah, because it depends on your other accoutrements in life.
Right.
To some of what Melissa, I think, was talking about there, too, you know, this that you get into this circle of decision mm-hmm. Of, oh, God, this. Oh, but what about this? But what about this? Mm-hmm. And all of that. And that's where I think part of why I wanted to talk about this, too, is when you get into those loops. Well, you know, what do you need? What is going to be the deciding factor? Maybe trusting your gut. Maybe that'll help you make the decision.
What are you feeling, right? Yeah.
Now, it can be a problem, too, if your gut is telling you multiple things mm-hmm. sometimes.
Right.
That can be difficult, too.
And yeah, I mean, you can be very much two minds on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't even brought up the gut microbiome.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, yeah. We haven't even gotten there. Yeah.
Oh, brother.
What to invest money in? 20% of us tread our gut instinct with that.
Well, first, you need money to invest. I think that's the important thing.
Now, this is one where I don't trust my gut. Oh. I don't know if I don't think my gut is very smart when it comes to money. I don't think that it knows what to do with money.
Yeah, right.
I don't think that it has ever known what to do because we've never had money, my gut
right.
and I.
This would come from your past experience, James.
You ask your gut about money, and it's like, well, you buy food.
What is that?
That you buy food with it so you can fill me up is what it is, right?
I don't know. Housing.
Yeah, right.
Like, I can do things for others to a degree, but I really don't know how to have fun with money. I literally don't. I don't know how to enjoy money. I don't know how to enjoy my
James taking a holiday enters the conversation.
Once again. I don't know. You got some decent shoes. I don't know.
I hate how I walk into these things. Shoes, everything I do has to have a logical gut reason behind it.
Oh, interesting.
Well, as a kid, I had to make one pair of shoes last for almost 2 years.
Right.
I told myself if I ever had the chance, I'd never do that again. If I buy multiple shoes, I can wear them at different times, and they last longer. So now I have so many shoes, I don't probably have to buy shoes forever. Ever again.
Your feet aren't going to change anymore, right?
And I'm never going to worry about them. Yeah. Like everything, fun things have to have a logical reason behind them because I can't have fun. And trust my gut. My poor gut left.
Yeah.
My gut got tired of me a while ago.
Was like, I quit.
Yeah.
Is there any other jobs around here?
But James, have you bought bowling shoes?
No, I need...
You need to buy bowling shoes because then you will go bowling because you must use the shoes that you bought
for a purpose,
and then you'll get out and do something fun for yourself.
So if you buy golf shoes, if someone wants to take them golfing, there you go, get them some golf shoes.
Do they make Chuck Taylor golf shoes? Let me just buying a home also shows up on the list. 18% of us will trust our gut with that. One of the most major purchases any of us will ever make, if any of us ever actually get to make it.
I kind of did that when I bought my house way back in the day kind of thing. It was kind of a gut thing. It worked out fine, but it was, you know, just kind of a, well, I would pay about the same in rent, and so let's buy it instead, and that's kind of where it went.
So during evolution, way back, a couple years ago, the selective pressure favored individuals that had a stronger fight or flight. Every one of us that are here are descendants of that. Trust your gut. And believe in yourself. Believe in that gut. Believe in your decisions. Believe in the things that you're doing. If anything, don't wait for others to back you. Back you and see what follows from that. I think every human being out there deserves to feel good about themselves. It feels good about quieting that voice in the back of your head. Trust your gut.
The more you know.
And stick around. Yes, Star Swipe.
Star Swipe.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic.